tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. Can be reborn, 'cause I'm one. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Oh, let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I'm one, even before the day begins. Yeah, I'm one, I've lost my will to fight. I'm one, so heaven come and flood my eyes.
Man, I wanna tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not gonna let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go!
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. 'Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above. The road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a piece full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Flashes.
they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part, from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler? Tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idols, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside of me. Not because the 22 is on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I bet I fall. Since I got that call, no more song, now I'm home.
Yep.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank all of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a truly blessed week. It has been a great week for myself and my family, and I'm loving this warm 60-degree weather, and I'm very excited about changing our clocks back 1 hour, or changing our clocks 1 hour forward for daylight savings time. So I'm going to jump right in. Today's message is, what will it profit anyone? But before we get started, let us all bow our head in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are joined together on this day to get to know you better and to receive the message that you would have for us to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we come into this world alone, without any possessions. From dust we come, and when we pass from this life, to dust we shall return. Your word tells us that we cannot serve two masters, for to love the one is to hate the other. The enemy tries to convince us that we need all these materialistic things, anything that money can buy. And we oftentimes buy into the fact that the more money equals more happiness, but it's not true. Dear Heavenly Father, your word warns us against focusing on material things, making false gods out of these things. Because in trying to hold on to these worldly things, we can lose our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you remind us daily that without you, we are nothing. Empty us of the preoccupation with materialism, all worry and anxiety that comes from placing our focus on anything but you. Forgive us of our selfish nature, self-centeredness, and self-seeking ways. When we struggle to trust you with all of our needs, remind us that you are bigger than our struggles. Remind us that even though we may not get what we want, that you always provide exactly what we need. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come straight from you and not from my own understanding. We thank you in advance for all of these answered prayers, for what you have done for us, and for all the things that you will do for us in the future. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer, friends. So let's begin. Today's message comes from Mark 8, verses 35 and 36. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Let me explain what the world and soul mean. I know all of you already know probably these things, but I just want to add this. The world is from the Greek root word cosmos. And this can mean the earth, all the people of the earth, or the ungodly elements of creation. But it can also mean order or government. But today we're going to be talking about the world as the ungodly elements of creation. And the word soul, it is defined as the essence of a person, a life. It is the part of us that makes us who we are. It is the moral and the emotional nature of a human being or an animal. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Jesus says in the Bible that earthly riches create a strong barrier between believers and unbelievers. We sometimes see this world as having everything we need for a happy and fulfilled life, and it was in the beginning. In Genesis 1:29-31, the Bible says, "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning. But even then, friends, there was nothing more precious than our life. Jesus knew this when Satan offered him the world in Matthew 4:8-10. And the Bible says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Not only would Jesus not sacrifice his own integrity for the world, he would not sacrifice our souls for our comfort. There is some mention about the cost of discipleship, but Jesus goes on to speak of the cost of not taking up our cross and following him. The exchange of the life of the Holy Spirit within us for some earthly thing is the greatest cost a human being could ever pay for anything on this earth. Friends, Satan has set up this world as a marketplace for the souls of men, women, and children. He offers many earthly things, such as food and drink, a massive amount of all forms of ungodly entertainment, and all the material possessions that you could possibly want, all in exchange for our inheritance in Jesus Christ. But I ask you this, is all the world offers worth the cost of your soul? I can tell you that it is not for me. It's not worth it. And let me share with you why by reading Luke 12:13-21. This is called the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus replied, man who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you. And then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then the rich man said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid back for so many years to come. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. And in Luke 12:34, the Bible goes on to tell us that for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. To gain the world means to gain all the world has to offer. Money, fame, success, power, satisfaction, and so much more. But to lose our soul means to lose the key to all life, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and all access to the presence of God. Friends, that is monumental. Can you imagine losing that? All just to gain all the worldly things. Let me say that again. To lose your soul is to lose the key to all life with a relationship with Jesus Christ and all access to the presence of God. Friends, why? Why would anyone choose the world over saving your own life? Having God at the center of your life, why? Why would you do that? It's a very costly thing to do. It's quite literally a life or death situation. Let that really resonate into your mind for a minute. Friends, let me make it clear that there is nothing wrong with gaining money, success, and such things, but they must be achieved by God's will for our lives and not by our own will. God wants His children to gain blessings here on earth, just as much as we are reserved the blessings of heaven. However, what Jesus does not want is to see believers forsaking God for the sake of the temporal earthly success. Many people out there in this world today, sadly, will try to gain wealth, power, and success by their means and through their own strength. It can be easy to forget that all we have and everything that we do comes only as a result of God's grace. Without God, we are nothing, friends. Absolutely nothing. In Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible tells us, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today." And yet so many people have the attitude and the thinking that all they have comes primarily from their own hard work. As a result of all this, people find it hard to submit to God's will when God requires us to make changes, to be generous when God tells us to be generous, or to say no to corruption and cheating when the world, when Satan promises us more wealth. This is why, friends, it is so important to be in daily prayer, daily reading our Bible, and meditating on the Word. This is why it is so important to draw nearer and nearer to God and trust in Him for all of our needs and not fall for all the lies of the enemy. We can find ourselves caught in the enemy's web so quickly that we didn't even see it coming until it's too late. Friends, we always have to be on guard. The devil goes around seeking to devour our very souls. When we go around chasing after earthly blessings as our primary motive to life, and apart from God's will, we forfeit the being of our souls. And as a result of this, our souls start lacking in such areas of life as love, compassion, peace, gentleness, patience, and self-control. These things only come from abiding in Christ. And it's a huge mistake when we start living our lives as if all the material things in life will last forever. When we start chasing these things and we forsake God. And how sad indeed that is. Friends, when God is our reward, He adds everything that we need to our life. When Jesus is all we want and all we desire, we will never, ever go hungry, never lack in money, never lose our influence, and never leave the path of success. In Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord makes us rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." Friends, God wants us to live abundantly and be successful, but never at the expense of losing our relationship with God. We are called to seek God first in all that we do, and then He will add unto that, onto our lives. I read an article recently that there are 2 billion people who classify themselves as a Christian in this world. It is important for each of us to reflect on what being a Christian is and ask ourselves, do I or we really dedicate ourselves to living Christian lives? And sadly, the answer for a lot of us is probably no. Honestly, there is room for improvement in all of our lives, in my own life, because we are still all works in the progress. This world is full of distractions that pull us away from spiritual life. Even our jobs, though they are very necessary, can still pull us away from our spiritual lives. Other examples of this are such things like cinemas, theme parks, baseball and other sports games, TV night at home, hanging out with your friends, various hobbies. Essentially, any activity under the sun that takes precedence over spending time in God's presence. Yet none of these things I've listed will provide us the sense of peace that we are all searching for. Only a connection with God can provide the ultimate peace that we seek. Friends, it's very important for those of us who are believers to remember that our physical lives will not last forever. So if we focus all of our attention on the things of this world, what will we have gained in the end? All these things that we valued and acquired while on this earth will be meaningless because we can't take it with us to the grave. Friends, we truly own nothing. It's by the grace of God that we have anything. And we need to give credit where credit is due. And we need to be praising Him and giving Him all the glory and all the love for all the things that He does for us. We didn't do these things on our own. Everything that we think we own is in reality only loaned to us for a short while. At the moment we pass from this world, only God can save our soul. Friends, I want to remind you of this, and I love this. This is not our home. We are merely passing through. That is so worthy to say again. This is not our home. We are merely passing through. It's so very important to put these things into proper perspective. Most of the people of this world have their perspective on life completely backward. They are working toward the wrong goals. And one day in the future, they will realize that the opportunities they had to make a difference in God's kingdom and in their own lives were squandered by foolishness. When that day comes, what a bitter realization it will be to accept. Friends, our lives are short in the grand scheme of things. Our days are numbered from the time we were all born, and only God knows the number of our days. But when our time is up, it is truly up. There will be no more time for a redo. Oftentimes, friends, the richest and the happiest people of all are actually the ones who have very little. And so while you think on that, think on the first half of this message. I'm going to go to a short break. The first song I'm going to play is Oh My Soul by Casting Crowns. And the second is Save Your Shadow by Blake Shelton.
Oh one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you, though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see if you stop believing.
Hears my every prayer. save your shadow, who I'm supposed to be.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show Returns today. I'm happy that you've decided to join all of us here. If you were just tuning in, today's message is, what will it profit anyone? And I just want to take a moment to recap part of the first part of the message, so that if you are just tuning in, that this will kind of catch you up to speed with the rest of us. And so today's message comes from Mark 8, verses 35 and 36. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And let me take a moment to explain again what world and soul mean. The world is from the Greek root word cosmos. And this can mean the earth, all the people of the earth, or the ungodly elements of creation. But it can also mean order or government. And today we are talking about the world as the ungodly elements of creation. The world, the word soul, is defined as the essence of a person, a life. It is a part of us. It's what makes us who we are. It is the moral or emotional nature of a human being or of an animal. And in Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We have been talking about how easy it is to lose our focus on God and how easily we can be led astray by the enemy's lies. The enemy knows our every desire, and he lures us in by temptation, and he promises to give us all the things that our hearts desire in the world. He makes it so appealing that we can falsely believe, oh, what does it hurt? Maybe just a little bit more of this or that. Everything will be okay. But friends, I'm here to tell you right now that that is a costly mistake. It's a costly mindset for us to have, because it can mean literally a decision between our life and our death. Friends, I want to share a poem with you now that I came across the other day. And the name of this poem is called The Touch of the Master's Hand. And so it goes like this. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I to start the bid, good people?" he said. "Who will start the bidding for me? $1? $1? Do I hear two? Do I hear $2? Who will make it $3? Once, twice, going three?" But no. From the room, far in the back, a gray-haired man came forward, and he picked up the bow. He wiped the dust off of the old violin, and he tightened up the strings, and he began to play a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" As he held it aloft with his bow, $1,000, $1,000, do I hear two, $2,000, who will make it three, $3,000, once, $3,000 twice, going and gone," said the auctioneer. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swiftly came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd. Much like an old violin, a mess of pottage, a drink, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice. He is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Friends, this poem was written by Mary B. Welch. And this poem really touched my heart when I read it. And I hope it's touched yours as well. Friends, Jesus confronts humanity with a profound reality. Our souls can indeed be lost from the choices and the decisions that we make. And so how does it happen? Firstly, we can starve our soul. And in Matthew 4:4, the Bible tells us, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you remember the story in the book of Luke, in chapter 16? It's about a man who was wealthy. He lived well, he enjoyed life, he dressed in purple, which is indicative of royalty, and he never once thought about his soul. He only lived for this world. And then he was asked to give an account of his management. Then it was decided that because of the way he managed things, that he could no longer be a manager. The fellow asked, "What will I do?" He called in reinforcement from others, and yet it still did not work. He had lost the trust of the master. In verse 10, the Bible tells us, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." And in verse 13, the Bible tells us that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Friends, bread sustains our bodies. The Word of God sustains our soul. But in this story from the Bible, this man didn't hunger for the Word of God. He had no appetite for any of the things of God. And secondly, we can strangle our soul. In Mark 4:9, the Bible tells us, "The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Friends, can I be honest with you today? Any of us who are in our midlife, and even in other parts of our lives too, but particularly maybe midlife, our schedules are ruthless. Our careers are at a point where there are great demands put upon each of us. And for those of us with kids, they are engaged in so many activities that almost fit into our, that just almost fit into our schedules. And these are just some of the examples of our hectic lives. Perhaps there was a time when your heart was tender toward the Lord. You wanted to make everything you did count for the Lord. But now you feel like your whole life is taken up with the cares of this world. The desire for other things have perhaps taken a hold of us. And when this happened to us, the Word of God gets choked out and our lives become unfruitful. What many of us don't realize is that when this process starts taking over, you begin to lose your soul. And thirdly, we can surrender our soul without even knowing it. In 1 Peter 2:11, the Bible tells us, "Beloved, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Friends, God clearly tells us that there are passions of the flesh, and they wage war against our soul. Did you hear what I just said? They wage war against our soul. This means that the passions of the flesh are out to destroy our soul. When we experience temptation and we give ourselves to it, and then is when we begin surrendering our soul. And perhaps we don't even realize that is what is happening to us. But I guarantee you, Satan knows, and he is very happy with our decision to do so. Because all Satan wants to do is take us away from God. If he can make this happen, then he wins over God. And friends, we must always, always, always be on guard lest we fall off the narrow path. And it can happen so fast. And yes, it is true that the more you follow God, the more you will be faced with trials and tribulations. And why does it seem like some people get away with everything? It looks like they're always on top of it all. They seem to suffer no consequences for their actions. But do you want to know why? All of us will have to stand before God one day and face judgment for the life that we have lived in our allotted amount of time. How do you think you will be judged upon that day? But the answer to one of the previous questions is this. Though these people look like they have everything going their way, it will catch up to them eventually. Maybe not now, but it will catch up to them eventually. But Satan doesn't mess with these people because he already has them right where he wants them. And that is separated from God. However, the believers are a different matter. They follow God, and Satan doesn't much like that. He is into collecting souls too, but not with the same purpose in mind as our Heavenly Father. Because Satan doesn't care about what happens to us. He just wants to take us away from God and have the win. But God truly cares about us, loves us, and wants us to spend eternity in heaven alongside Him. And here is the thing, folks. When we surrender our soul to the enemy, we are saying, Satan, you win. I concede. I'm yours. And then he will take you captive. Friends, your soul is of great value. It lasts forever if we follow God and His Word and apply it to our lifestyle. If we surrender our souls to sin, it will be an everlasting loss for eternity. The first step is to find the worth of your soul. The soul that is saved is a soul that is given to Jesus Christ. And friends, I want to ask you something. And you may think this is an odd question, but I promise you'll understand it in a little while. Friends, have you ever seen a moving truck in a funeral procession? I hope your answer is no. And there is a simple reason for that. It is because you cannot take the things of this world that you've acquired throughout your whole lifetime to the grave with you. At the end of the day, at the end of our life as we know it here on earth, we must remember from dust we came and to dust we will return. All of our graves are the same size, proportionate to our body size. Some are not the size of a room, while others are the size of a closet. The grave is only big enough to put our physical bodies inside, no more, no less. And I read another article about this man who has spent his whole life trying to give his wife and his children more than he had grown up with. But in order to do so, he sacrificed most of his life to his achievements and not to spending it with his family. He had left all the responsibilities of parenting up to his wife. His children finally grew up. They moved out on their own to have families of their own. They had all these loving memories of their mom, but very little of their dad. One day his wife died, and along with it, all the love that had held their family together for so many years. And at the graveside, the man grieved with his adult children, and he wanted to console them, but his attempt wasn't warmly accepted. The harsh reality was that he had become a stranger to his own family. Back home, after the funeral, the children were all rallied around, swapping beautiful memories of their mom and comforting one another, and this father was completely ignored. Later on, in the father's elder years, he found himself in a critical care home, totally alone, with nothing but time to think. He thought about the wonderful life he had, and how after all these years it was all gone, and he came to the stark reality that there was nothing left of that old life to show for all of his efforts. Eventually, he passed on. His young great-granddaughter asked her mom, "Didn't great-granddad have a lot of money and have a big house?" And the grandmother replied to the little girl, "Yes, he did." The grown daughter of the man who had died looked at the hearse and quietly said to herself, "You missed it, Dad. We are the things that you could have took to heaven with you, but you didn't even try. You missed it, Dad." Just thinking about that just makes me so emotional. How many of us out there today are doing the very same thing? And at the end of our life, how many of our children and grandchildren are going to feel that way about us? How sad it is to think about that story. So I ask you again, friends, what advantage would it be to any of us if we were to gain this whole world and lose our soul? And the answer is absolutely nothing. It's really hard to think about, isn't it? This man in this story tried everything he could to make a better life, materialistically speaking, for his family. Give them a life that he never had growing up. And he succeeded in that. But in the end, the only thing it gained him was nothing at all, except a wasted life. He wasted all that time that he could have been planting seeds with his children and his grandchildren, trying to give them something that he never had, materialistically. Friends, I'm pleading with you and I'm praying for you that any one of you out there is on this path right now, that you would take a good hard look at your life and you would ask yourself some very hard questions. What am I doing with my life right now? What am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Are my motives driven by righteous living? What is my main goal in life? friends, if your answers are not anchored in the Word of God, you are forfeiting your soul as we speak. Do you want to end up like the old man in the story that I just shared with you? Would all the worldly possessions really be worth all of that? To not only sacrifice your own soul, but to lose your family in the process. Let us close with a prayer. Let's bow our heads at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today's message. I believe it has hit home for many. Please forgive us of our transgressions. Please cleanse our heart, mind, body, and soul. We are confronted with many choices in our life, and the decisions that we make are not always easy ones to make. Satan is always nipping at our heels, waiting for us to slip up and make a mistake. We pray that we, as we navigate through this life, that you would help us and guide us to remain on the path of righteousness. Help us to make right decisions. And may we submit to you in all that we do, in all that we say, and in all that we think. And we thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I encourage all of you to do some soul searching this up and coming week. Are you currently on the righteous path? Or have you strayed away from the narrow righteous path for some reason? Is God calling you to make some changes in your life? What changes do you suppose He is calling for you to make? Where do your priorities rest right now? Is it more on the worldly side or the spiritual side? And friends, only you can answer these questions. I can't answer them for you. Your friends and family cannot answer them for you. Life is a journey, a very personal journey. And so with that having been said, may God richly bless each and every one of you. May God watch over you and protect you and your friends and loved ones until we meet again next week, same time, same place. Love you all.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory, my sin and bear. Out of the sight.